Hello and welcome to Not So Molly Mormon Podcast.
Hello, welcome back everyone. This is Sarah.
And this is Katie. Welcome to our show.
Welcome to our show. We're back, back, back.
Back,
guys,
back,
I was
back.
Singing to my kid tonight. I was like putting on his pajamas and I was singing. And he looked at me and goes, stop.
Oh my goodness, the sass. What were you singing?
Itsy Bitsy Spider. I couldn't stop laughing. And then I asked him, I said, do you want me to sing The Wheels on the Bus? And he goes, no, mama. No.
He was just like, please, for the love of God, I don't want you to sing anymore.
It's like, my ears, mom, my ears.
Oh my God, that's too good. Well, we were just chatting, getting a little bit caught up. It sounds like Sarah had a lovely weekend, right?
I did. It was really nice. I feel like I'm quite boring these days, but it's mostly talking about food. We had my father-in-law made a really nice beef curry and dal, which, oh my God, it was so good.
Yum.
And then Saturday I went and met up with my cousin auntie, and she's actually my cousin, but I call her my auntie. Anyways, in central London, we went to this French bistro, and I didn't even tell you, Katie, what we ordered, but
I was just gonna say, I didn't ask what you ordered. What did you
have? It was so good. So my aunt got scallops, which I have not tried still.
Oh, I really love scallops.
And it was on top of asparagus risotto.
Oh, and, my.
And then she got a fish cake and something else, and I got asparagus soup, which was very nice, and a ribeye, which was like butter, like literally. So scrumptious.
French food. They know what they're doing.
I know. And then I never ever do this, but my auntie was like, oh, for dessert, let's drink it. And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, let's get a amaretto on the rocks. And I was like, okay.
Hell
but
yeah.
Bougie. And I had never had that. And you guys, my world has changed. Now I want to get that every time I go out to dinner.
Oh, so yeah. That's my favorite way to have dessert, is to have a drink or a glass of wine or something instead of actual dessert.
Oh, see, I'm the type that I was like, ooh, let me get a creme brulee or something. And then no. Anyway, so it involved a lot of food. It was really good. And I was telling Katie that my kid is in this cute little phase where he just says, cuddles, and he comes up to you and gives you a hug and a kiss, and it's adorable. And it's also really funny because he'll just do it in the middle of like playing with his train or his car. He's like playing, and all of a sudden he just runs up to you and goes, cuddle, and then he just gives you a hug.
Oh, I wish so bad I could just be there. I want cuddles.
I know, they're the best, they warm your soul. But anyways, yeah. Guys, sorry for a boring mom update.
It's not boring.
How was your weekend?
It was fabulous. I had my little bachelorette party, which I'm going to tell Sarah about. I sent her some photos and videos of it. It was outrageous. And I'm going to tell her more about it over on Patreon. So the patrons, you'll get to hear about that crazy night.
But yeah, it was super fun.
It was, yeah, a lot of penis things. So we'll leave it at that. But for today's episode, I found something from the topics and questions section of the church's website. As we do when we torture ourselves, we go to the church's website.
Oh, boy.
This one is on chastity. Dun, dun, dun. Now, we may have talked about, I know we've talked about this in the past, but I just don't know if we've actually ever read from their topics and questions section about chastity before. So if I have, I apologize. We're 250 plus episodes in, so this could be kind of a potential repeat. But I thought, I looked at our recent episodes, and we haven't talked about anything like this. So, and I know some people start at different parts of the podcast, so if it's a refresher, it's a refresher, but you know,
It's a refresher. Like Katie said, we're over 250 episodes. I cannot remember what we talked about last week, much less 5 years
ago. I know. I'm just like, well, this kind of sounds familiar, but also maybe it's just because we've talked about it. But anyway, I don't know how I found myself on this page, and I started reading through it, and I was like, oh, yeah, this is, I'm going to read this to Sarah for next week's episode. So here we are. Yay, oh, Chastity. No.
I always think of a chastity belt.
Oh, yeah. Or I think of, like, sorry if any of you out there are named this, but, like, I went to high school with a girl named Chastity, and I just always thought, oh, no. Oh, honey, no.
Oh, her parents. Well, especially, like, in Mormon world, too. It's like, oh.
Yeah, I know. Eek. Okay. So, it begins. Chastity is sexual purity. Mm. Already okay, using
right
the,
up,
the
right
word.
Right off the bat.
Yeah, already that word pure. Boo. Yes. Those who are chaste are morally clean in their thoughts, words, and actions. Chastity means not having any sexual relations before marriage, and it also means complete fidelity to husband or wife during marriage. They have no room for nuance there, do they? No.
Not at all. Like,
it's just, yeah, telling people how to live, and if you don't do it, you are not clean. You are dirty. You are not worthy. You are not pure.
Not pure.
Physical intimacy between husband and wife is beautiful and sacred. It is ordained of God for the creation of children and for the expression of love within marriage. But for
so nothing about pleasure, just literally for making babies and expressing your love.
Yeah, that's a good point. There's nothing about feeling good or feeling pleasure. And again, it's just between husband and wife, so right out the gate, it's homophobic.
Yeah, exactly. Also, what was the line that you just said, that something about how it was in, like, how it is in marriage? What was it, something about, like, it's not sacred?
It's beautiful and sacred.
Yeah, beautiful and sacred only within marriage, you guys. If you're not married, your sex life is not beautiful and it's not sacred. And also, it's kind of hilarious being like, only when you're married is it sacred and beautiful. Let's be real, when you're married, that shit is like, you got to make time for it. It's sometimes not beautiful. Sometimes you've eaten too many gassy things and it's just not great, you know, in that sense. It's still amazing. It's great. Sorry, I don't mean to say it's not great, but it's not like this beautiful, magical, like, only within marriage is it like,
yeah. Right. And to go from it's the same act. I mean, especially if it's between the same two people, it's not going to be different whether or not you're not married or you are. You know what I mean? And it's not like it's not like something magically just changes once you get married. So now it's beautiful and sacred. But before, it was ugly and sinful. And it's the exact same act. So no wonder people get fucked up over sex when they're in Mormonism and leaving Mormonism, because it's like you try to differentiate the two and it's actually the same thing, but the church teaches you it's different.
It's the same.
Yeah. In the world today, Satan has led many people to believe that sexual intimacy outside of marriage is acceptable. Oh, Satan.
Oh my God. I cannot wait to talk about this episode with Greg later and just be like, did you know that for our entire relationship before we got married, it was not Satan. Beautiful and it was not sacred and it was from Satan.
Yeah. I mean, I should go tell Scott that now. Like,
yeah, you're living in sin, Katie. Like, at least I'm not living in sin right now.
At least maybe you can get to Mormon heaven. No, no luck for me. I've been doing this for 12 years. Yeah. So I got a lot of experience, but yeah, it's so, you know, so it doesn't offend me and you because we can have a sense of humor about it, but it's also just kind of like, it makes me annoyed that they teach this to like my family, for example, and they teach them that what I'm doing is ugly and wrong and sinful when like they love me and Scott, but then there's this, like, I'm sure this cognitive dissonance of, like, I have to accept her even though she's doing this ugly, sinful, wrong thing. And it's like, I hate that a church forces that on people, you know?
100%. I mean, yeah, that's 100% what my family thought. And I love my family, and they absolutely love Greg. But yeah, before we got married, it was that as well. Like, and even at our wedding, there were a few, like, family members who went up to Greg and were like, oh, I'm so glad you made her an honest woman. And oh, I was like, oh my God. And Greg, you know, just being like hilarious and like British dry sarcasm, would just like take a sip of his beer and be like, I know.
I finally did it. I was the one that said her right.
And then he looked at me and like wink, and I was like, oh, stop. Yeah. So gross.
It's just so, it's, I'm glad we can laugh about it and have a sense of humor about it, because it really is kind of traumatizing when you are so demonized and like black sheeped of like, you're, oh no, Satan got his hooks in her and she's enjoying sex outside of marriage with her partner of 12 years, but it's still bad.
It's still horrible.
They don't have a marriage license. Like, I'm sorry. What?
It's crazy when you think about marriage. Like, I know we talk about it all the time, but it's still so silly to me to think that if there was a God, that they would really be so concerned about whether or not you had a piece of paper.
I know.
Just happened in the later centuries. Like, there was nothing like that before. It's institutional. It's like societal. It's
right,
not.
Exactly.
It's just a piece of paper.
I know.
So why would he care?
Really. He is a petty bitch, as we know.
Such a petty bitch.
But in God's sight, it's a serious sin. It is an abuse of the power he has given us to create life. That makes me so pissed off, to say it's an abuse of the power he has given us to create life. Ew, go away. Like, sex is not just for making babies, okay?
No, it's really not. And if anything, it's an abuse of power for people who are brainwashed in the church, and who just have sex to have kids, and they end up having a lot of kids that maybe they should not have had. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I
don't
say it lightly, but it's like they might not have been ready for kids, or they might not be in the best place, and they were just like, oh, we got to have sex as often as possible so that we can have kids.
Right? It's like, oh man, that's too much. And not to even mention when they use the word abuse, it just riles me up, because we know of the abuse that goes on in the church that they sweep under the rug. And that is sexual abuse. But they're calling having consensual sex abuse. And also they call masturbating self-abuse. Oh, and it's just like, pisses me off.
Self-abuse is not masturbating.
Right, exactly. The prophet Alma, who was fake,
that guy who's fake. Yes.
Remember that dude? Yeah. The prophet Alma taught that sexual sins are more serious than any other sins, next to murder and denying the Holy Ghost.
Here it is, guys. We say it all the time, and we even have Mormon trolls who come after us and are like, no, the church is so forgiving and loving. And we're like, no, it says that sexual sin is right up there with murder.
Yes.
That's
it's right up there with murder. It's beyond to me. Like,
it's on the church's website. We don't make this shit up.
No. Sometimes people try to convince themselves that sexual relations outside of marriage are acceptable if the participants love one another. This is not true.
Oh my God. I hate this narrative. You guys, even when I left the church, I remember, like, that was the whole thing where I was like, if you have sex outside of marriage, then it's not real, or it's like a deceitful thing. Or if you're in a loving, caring relationship that's outside of marriage, like, is it going to be real? Like, it's still so
girl, the very next sentences I feel like express exactly what you're saying. It says, breaking the law of chastity and encouraging someone else to do so is not an expression of love. People who love each other will never endanger one another's happiness and safety in exchange for temporary personal pleasure. That's exactly what you were just saying. Like, it doesn't feel real. It doesn't feel like you'd really love each other if you're not waiting for marriage.
That's so crazy. That's so sad.
We believed that. And here's the thing, too. Sarah and I are all for, obviously, consent and safe sex. Yes. But that comes with education, like sex ed, not just saying, oh, you're in danger if you do it or if you think about it or you're dirty and you're not going to be worthy. They're not teaching you how to have safe, consensual, pleasurable sex. They're just saying, just don't do it until you're married and then have a bunch of babies. And then it's great.
Exactly. Like, and then you have no idea how to, because the thing is, they always make it sound like, having sex outside of marriage is like, that's where you're going to get in trouble. That's where men are sinister and women are loose. I'm doing all these air quotes. And of course, those examples and those cases do exist. We know that. But it's not to say they don't also happen within marriage. Like,
right.
Just because you're married doesn't mean that all that stuff just is like, oh, well, you have a, you're protected because you're in a marriage. No, in fact, the opposite sometimes happens in the Mormon church, where women don't know what their rights are. They don't, in the sense of, they don't know what to fight for. They don't know that, like, oh, actually, you still should have consent even within marriage. And just because your husband wants to have sex and you don't, doesn't mean that you have to.
Mm-hmm. So that's so true. Yeah, exactly. Great point. When people care for one another enough to keep the law of chastity, their love, trust, and commitment increase, resulting in greater happiness and unity. In contrast, relationships built on sexual immorality sour quickly. Oh, do they? Do they? Would you say, I would say mine hasn't soured yet. We're going on 12 years, so.
Yeah, no, your relationship's all fake. I'm sorry.
Those who engage in sexual immorality often feel fear, guilt, and shame. Bitterness, jealousy, and hatred soon replace any positive feelings that once existed in their relationship. Fuck off, that's not true.
Oh my God.
And the irony that it says engaging in sexual immorality will make you feel fear, guilt, and shame. The thing that makes you feel fear, guilt, and shame is the Mormon church and its teaching.
Exactly. That's what it is because they base their whole, like, religion and practice and doctrine on fear and say that, like we just said, if you have sex outside of marriage, it's equivalent to, or almost as equivalent to, have, like, murdering someone. So, of course, if that's what you know and that's what you've been taught, then when you have sex, you're going to feel really guilty.
Mm-hmm. And it's the fault of the church, not the fault of the act of having sex. Yeah. Our Heavenly Father has given us the law of chastity for our protection. Ugh. It's so obnoxious. Like, he gives us this law for our protection because he cares so much about who we bump uglies with and when.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, why do you care, HF? He doesn't. He's not real, but,
And if he was real and he did care about this, then he's a perv. Like, I don't need you to know about my sex life. If you are a god, you do not need to know. I don't need you knowing about my sex life. I don't need Jesus or Joshua Christ watching me have sex. I don't need any of it. Thank you, sir.
We just have, there's just like this viewing room up in Mormon heaven where there's HF, Celestial Joshua Christ, and then there's like J-Dog, Joseph Smith, and they're all just like viewing the whole world having sex, like through this viewing room. It's like their own personal porn room. And they're all just.
And then it's like there's a special room for like Utah Mormons where it's like, oh no, they're just soaking. They're just that's soaking. Fine. That's
okay. Oh, okay. That one's doing the earthquaking. So they're still good. I think they're okay.
Okay, there's only one roommate jumping up and down on the bed, so we're fine. If it gets to three, then that's questionable, but we're going to keep it with earthquaking with just one or two people jumping up and down. Oh, wait, no. You went to Vegas and got married for the weekend and had sex? That is allowed
as
well.
That is A-okay.
Fine.
Perfectly acceptable. In the meantime, I'm going to be watching these millions of other people have sex outside of marriage and judge them because I'm a pervy judger. Okay. Our heavenly Father. Oh, okay, I said that part. Obedience to this law is essential to personal peace and strength of character and to happiness in the home. Those who keep themselves sexually pure will avoid the spiritual and emotional damage that always comes from sharing physical intimacies with someone outside of marriage. I'm sorry, what? That is just not true. Like, they're saying that every single person who has sex outside of marriage is emotionally damaged by it. I'm one. I'm raising my hand. I'm not emotionally damaged. So, I mean, I suppose I am in some way. I am by the church.
We have, like, the religious trauma part, which is emotionally damaging. But
in terms of, like, my sex life, it's just... It's obnoxious too, because it's like saying that everyone who isn't Mormon who doesn't follow this is like damaged.
And it also makes me really sad for all the young people. Like Katie and I, we've gone through this. We felt this. We had that intense shame and guilt, which is just a horrible feeling whenever you have sex. And as an ex-Mormon, like, you can't even relax in and like enjoy the experience sometimes because you're in your head about like, oh, I shouldn't be doing this. Or it's that feeling of like, as soon as you have sex right after, you feel like this overwhelming sense of guilt. And I just feel so bad for those who are leaving the church, who are at a younger age, who are already going through a lot of big life changes, emotional changes, like everything. And then you have this to throw on top of it, where it's like, you shouldn't have to deal with that on top of having sex for the first time and just going through those emotions and experiences. Mm-hmm. Then you have to throw on top of that, oh, now we're going to make you feel really, really guilty because you also left the church, or you have this guilt from being in the church and being taught that having sex outside of marriage is a horrible thing. And mm-hmm. I just want to tell everyone out there that it's not the case. Like, sex is a beautiful thing. Consensual sex is a very beautiful thing, and you should enjoy it. You should have as much fun as possible. Be safe. Have, you know, obviously I'm going to put my mom hat on, use protection, but mm-hmm. like, you know, enjoy it. As long as it's, you know, agreed upon by both parties and there's consent, then enjoy it.
Yes.
And don't have that guilt. If you're thinking it right now and you're like, oh, I felt really guilty or I feel ashamed, put those thoughts, wrap them up in a big old trash bag and throw them in the bin. Okay?
Yeah. They're not. Yeah. You're better than what the church has told you. Yeah. And I love what you said about have fun, because I wasn't told that growing up about how sex should be fun. You would hear like, oh, it can be, it's sacred and beautiful when you're married. But then you never heard like, oh, it's can be a fun, like, well, it is a fun, playful, expressive thing. And, throw those shameful feelings just right down the toilet.
For real, do it and have fun. But like Katie said, I was never told that way. Even if it was like, yeah, when you're married, you can have sex. It was never like, yeah, like have a good time with your husband or wife, or, well, of course it's going to be just hetero.
And yep.
It's just always like, yeah, you have sex to make babies, basically.
Yeah.
Even the thought of you weren't allowed to like say anything about oral sex. Like I was telling this to Greg the other day. I was like, so back then, like, I wouldn't even, like, I was known as being a bit naughty, too, because I would talk about oral sex, and some Mormons are like, you can't do that in marriage. He was like, what? You couldn't even, like, can't even do that in marriage? I was like, it depends. Like, every Mormon would say something different. Like, some would be like, no, or the prophets would say, like, you shouldn't do that. And he's like, but you would be technically married, so why would it matter? And I'm like, because it's not about fun. It's not about pleasure. It's... because oral sex, this is my theory, I could be wrong, is because it doesn't lead to procreation, right?
Exactly. Yeah, anything that's not just heterosexual vaginal intercourse, I feel like is... If Mormons do it, they don't talk about it because it's looked down upon as, like, not the quote-unquote right kind of sex to be having. which we know that that's the tiniest fragment of sexual experiences that one could experience. But
exactly.
Yeah, when you don't have sex ed and you're just always it's hammered, ha ha, hammer, it's drilled into you, ha ha ha. Just that sex is bad until you're married. Then it's like, how the hell are you going to even know? Like, even something is as just innocent as, like, knowing different sex positions and stuff. It's yeah, just exactly. Not like, talked about, you know?
Or, yeah. I mean, sorry to my nieces who are listening to this, but
hey.
It's just, like, how to please a man or a woman. Like,
I know. I know.
Like, you're not taught any of that. And not just for, obviously, if you are, it's more about, like, how can a woman please a man? But it's, like, no, how can you be taught to, like, make sure yourself, like, you are taken care of and your pleasures and your needs are taken care of as well? Like,
right?
And to prioritize that.
Yeah, and to expand on that, sorry to my mother-in-law who's listening, but, like, something just as simple as, like, yeah, like you said, like, where to touch, like, how to,
yeah.
How to utilize a penis. I mean, like, what
yeah,
to do with it.
Really, yeah.
Even something like how oral sex can be done in a way that's, like, fun and doesn't cramp up your neck. You know what I mean? It's, like, stuff that we've all had to just fucking learn on our own, but it would be helpful if there was stuff like that and that it wasn't so taboo that people were just scared to talk about it, right?
Yeah, exactly. And even think, like, and also to feel like it is okay on the opposite side to maybe you don't enjoy giving
yeah.
or receiving or both
right.
or either. Like, that's okay too. It's
absolutely.
Yeah.
It like we always say, there's like such a spectrum, and it's not right or wrong to enjoy. If everyone is consenting and happy and having a good time, like, go for it. And also, if you don't want to do any of those things, that's also perfectly fine. Like, it's, but yeah, it's like not learning that you have control over that, which is crazy because it's your sexuality. It's yours, but you don't feel like you own it when you are a Mormon.
And you're always like, I'm not always, but me personally in the beginning, it was like always in my head about it. Like,
yeah.
Am I doing this right? Am I doing that right? And feeling really self-conscious because I didn't have that, like, I wasn't able to talk about it openly and to be like, this is what
right.
I can and cannot expect. I wasn't able to chat about it with girlfriends or with guy friends or with anyone. It was just kind of like, ugh. I mean, luckily, when I did decide to leave the church, it took me a while. You guys all know episode 2. It's 3 hours long, I think. So, you know, to actually, like, have sex. But I had lots of friends that I could talk to at that point. But it was still, I felt uncomfortable because I had left the church recently. And even though I was like, yeah, let's talk about it on the inside, I was really like, oh, I feel really uncomfortable and I still feel guilty. And I feel like I can't talk about stuff without being even immature about it and, like, giggling, because it just, that was my way of dealing with it because I was uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
That's how I
mean,
dealt with it.
There's still remnants of that with me today, which I yeah. really try to work through and not let affect me. But there's you feel that little twinge sometimes when a topic comes up of, like, oh, that's taboo. Like, don't talk about that. But then luckily I can, like, redirect and be like, no, it's okay. It's all right. You can talk about it. So.
But there's even, and I think I've mentioned this already on the podcast, but my grandmother-in-law, like, this is a perfect example. I think it was over Christmas, mm-hmm. or maybe it was February. I can't remember when she came to stay. And it was like my mother-in-law and my grandmother-in-law were next door watching Saltburn. And I had not watched it yet. And I don't know, Katie, have you seen it?
No, is it a movie or?
Oh my God, you've not seen it? It was like,
I don't even know what it is.
Yeah, it's a movie.
Oh, but
the reason why I'm
it.
Shocked is because it was like, it was all over social media for like a few months, and there's so many memes about it. But anyways, there's like quite a few.
Oh,
like,
I must have seen the memes, and I just kind of was like, oh, it's another, that's another thing I'm not with it enough to understand.
Well, definitely go check out the memes. For those of you who also are like Katie, who is living under a rock, I will tell you.
Talk about being a sheltered Mormon, damn.
It's a movie, It's really like it. I'm not going to give any of the details, but there's a few scenes that are like quite risque and controversial.
Okay.
But anyways, I had not seen the movie. I did not know anything about it. But my mother-in-law and my grandmother were like, oh, we really recommend you watch this movie, Saltburn. It's quite good and blah, blah, blah. And they kept mentioning it a few times. And I was like, yeah, yeah. And then I saw all the memes coming through, like all this stuff on social media. And I was like, what is this? So then Greg and I watched it. And the whole time I just kept telling him, like, oh, my God, I cannot imagine sitting sitting on the couch watching this movie with your grandma and your mom. And he was like, why? Because for him, it's just he was raised in a normal environment where,
yeah,
like, sex was natural. Like, it wasn't a thing. Like, neither of him, like, him or his sister were ever taught to be ashamed by it, like, at
yeah.
all. They were very, very open about sex. And it, their main concern from their parents was that they were being safe.
Yes.
And that they had consent. And that was it. So for him, it was like, why would that be an issue? And I was like, Greg, I'm dying. I was like, even as an ex-Mormon of like 7 years, I am even slightly uncomfortable watching this with you. And you are my husband. Like, it's just this limit of.
It runs deep.
Yeah. I was like, it just makes me like instantly kind of want to be like awkward conversation during those parts because I don't know what to do. And I feel uncomfortable. And I said, I could not imagine watching it with your family. And then the cherry on top of it all was like, then I tried to imagine watching it with my family.
Oh,
it was
Jesus.
Just like, oh my God. Never, ever.
I mean, girl, for me, like a sexual innuendo will happen during like an episode of Seinfeld. And if my parents are in the room, I get so embarrassed. Like, but I try to just act normal. I'm like, okay, I understand that my reaction has been conditioned into me by my religious trauma and I shouldn't feel embarrassed, but like, blah, 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 work through it. Like, I recognize that, but it's also, it's still there.
It's still there. I mean, I can still remember a few episodes of Seinfeld, the one especially when they all like, again, I'm a bit of a Seinfeld nerd, but when they all say that they're not going to masturbate.
Yes.
And everyone. Yeah. Uh-huh. And I remember that was on once at my mom's house, like my mom and dad's house. And I was just like, oh my God, this is so uncomfortable. And I didn't know what to do. I couldn't find the controller. And I was like, what do I do?
No. The Holy Ghost is leaving.
I know.
All right. Now this next paragraph, yikers, says, like other violations of the law of chastity, homosexual activity is a serious sin. It is contrary to the purposes of human sexuality. Like, what? This is what is currently on their website, like, as of today. It distorts loving relationships and prevents people from receiving the blessings that can be found in family life and the saving ordinances of the gospel. Fuck right off. How does being gay distort loving relationships? It doesn't. I just, oh my God. They just like dehumanize the LGBTQ community so much. It makes me so angry.
It's just disgusting. It's like, how can you say that you're a religion or an organization that is all about love and charity and kindness and doing as to others as Christ would have done unto them? It's like, no, you are disgusting, first of all, but then you make mm-hmm. it as if these groups of people who don't fit in your church doctrine are horrible or unhuman, and it's so disgusting.
Contrary to the purpose of human sexuality, like, again, saying that human sexuality is just for baby making, so therefore someone who is gay is just inherently wrong. Like, chaps my ass, I'll tell you what.
I hate it so much. I always think of Jay, my best friend, when he we were talking about, like, me and Greg, I think it was when we first found out that we were pregnant, and Jay was like, well, we keep trying, but it's just not happening.
That's good. Oh, okay. Church members who have committed sexual sin should speak with their bishop, who can help them through the process of repentance. No.
Been there, done that. I highly recommend you do not do that.
No.
It's so, it's so traumatic.
You don't need to repent for having sex. You don't need to repent for masturbating. Like, you don't need to repent for fucking anything, because repentance is not real, but...
Yeah.
And just how uncomfortable, like, that you have to go into a room with a man and tell them what you did sexually. I just, no.
It's horrible. It's so traumatic when I think about those times I had to do that. It's still something that, like, makes my stomach, like, in knots thinking about that experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Decide now to be chaste. We need to make this decision only once. We can make the decision now before the temptation comes, and let our decision be so firm and with such deep commitment that it can never be shaken. This reminds me of, like, when you would wear your CTR ring and they would tell you, like, if you ever are tempted, just look at your CTR ring and remember that you made this.
So right.
When a choice is placed before you. Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. Control our thoughts. No one commits sexual sin in an instant. Immoral acts always begin with impure thoughts. If we allow our thoughts to linger on obscene or immoral things, we have already taken the first step toward immorality. You try saying this to, like, any teenager, right? And they're just like, sure. But, like, they're going to be thinking about sex constantly.
Exactly. Like,
it's just how they're, that's just how we're wired. Most of us.
Natural.
Yeah, right? It's programmed in. Stay away from pornography.
I mean, that's always the thing. It's always about pornography. That's what they're going to say, that you're addicted to it.
Yeah. And they have those billboards and those t-shirts in Utah that say porn kills love, and people wear them.
What about that? There was a Vice documentary on that, right?
I think you're right. Yeah, it's so cringe. It. Oh my God. It's the cringiest thing. Yeah. We must not view, read, or listen to anything that depicts or describes the human body or sexual conduct in a way that can arouse sexual feelings. Well, I guess my fairy smut is out.
Yeah, your fairy sex is out the window.
I mean, is it okay because they're fairies?
No. And the Mormon world, too, that even includes showing your shoulder, because that... Oh,
yeah. Your shoulder,
your shins... Chin-y.
Your shins. Oh, here we go. Pornographic materials are addictive and destructive.
It is.
You know, we've said it a lot, and true, people can struggle with addiction to anything. But the way that they describe people being addicted to porn is, like, if a man watches porn a couple of times a month, then they say he's addicted. And it's like, if it's not interfering in your day-to-day life, and, like, especially if it's ethical porn, but they don't go into the nuance of that ever, do they?
No. And also, again, it would be something that, as a couple, you, in the Mormon church, you wouldn't be able to watch that together.
Oh, yeah, no, it's a sin. Hey, I just thought of something. Is it a sin in the Mormon church if you're with your spouse and you just masturbate together?
Oh. Yeah, I feel like
it is a sin, right?
You know, it's still a sin, because remember, it's not, you're not creating life, Katie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's abusing the life-creating powers. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
I was trying to throw him a bone there. I don't know. I don't know. Okay, so porn, it says pornographic materials can rob us of our self-respect and of a sense of the beauties of life. They tear us down and lead to evil thoughts and abusive conduct. Well, not always.
I mean, again, it would be different if they actually address the abuse that happens within the Mormon church and everything that's been happening in that. But
yeah, that's my thoughts, like, too.
Just, can you focus on that and stay out of the whole narrative that porn is addictive and can lead to abuse. And again, just to clarify, we're not saying that that doesn't happen. Okay.
Right. Yeah. And there is really awful
the right narrative though.
Yeah. Yeah. There's like really awful porn. When we talk about porn, we're talking about ethical porn. Yeah. But yes, they focus on and vilify porn and masturbation and pleasure and the LGBTQ community, but they don't even really touch on like sexual abuse at all. It's just like feel bad about having pleasure and feel shame. And then when you get married, you're suddenly supposed to love it and have as much of it as you can to have babies. It's crazy. If we are single and dating, always treat our date with respect. Those who are dating must never treat their date as an object to be used for lustful desires. This is where I want to pause. And I feel like Sarah and I have both experienced that Mormon men in general, in our experience, have been way more disrespectful to us in this area than non-Mormon men.
Yeah, I was just going to say,
and sexualizing us right from the get-go. So
I was talking to someone about this, like a Nevermo. I can't remember now because my memory is like it's a hamster these days. But I was saying that most of the time it was the Mormon men who were it was my colleague, actually. This is a little sidebar tangent, but randomly she was telling me about, we were talking about universities. And she's like, I went somewhere in California, blah, blah, blah. Where'd you go? And we were talking about how you used to be able to stay up late. And I was saying how do we do it? How do we pull all nighters and then just rock up the next day at our 8 o'clock class? And we're like, yeah, we're good to go. And I was like, I can't even imagine that now because I go to bed so early. I just can't imagine going I had to do it when Rory wasn't sleeping well, but that wasn't my choice. And I struggled, I was on the struggle bus. And, and then I said, but it kind of helped at university with me because at least I was sober. So I didn't have a hangover. And she's like, what do you mean? And I said, I went to a university where obviously you couldn't drink. And she's like, did you go to BYU?
Oh,
yeah, why? She goes, that's a funny story. I actually got into BYU, but I turned it down and I went somewhere in California instead. And I was like, why would you want to go to BYU if you were Mormon?
Yeah.
All that, long story short, is that she was into dancing. So she took a lot of dance courses and competitions. And so I even asked her, I was like, did you compete at the Wilkes Center? And she's like, oh my God, I did actually.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and so we were chatting about the fact that this is a funny story she had where she got stopped before she could come in for a competition at 16 or 17 where they were like, do you have any tea bags with you? Because you're not allowed to have even tea on campus.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
And just chatting about the fact that this religious trauma. And I was saying, she's like, when we would go to, she goes, I went to this dance that was after the actual dance competition. It was a youth dance or something. I go, was it an institute dance or a youth? She goes, I don't know. But I know that they were really strict about us touching and we had to have space. And I was just dying because I was like, oh my God. And she was saying, I don't know if that's because Mormon men are more, and because I was I wasn't Mormon, she was like, I don't know if they felt I was more risque or whatever and blah, blah, blah. And I was saying, I was like, that's actually a thing. Most of the time, not always, again, not every Mormon guy, but it was this idea that they could get away with pushing the boundaries more of they didn't consider you as a wifey material.
Yep.
So they would take advantage of that and try to push you to do things or push the boundaries with people who weren't Mormon or for Mormon girls who weren't, wife material. Mm-hmm. And anyways, it's just this whole wild conversation where I was like, that is so true, where that usually was the case with Mormon guys. It was you didn't feel protected and safe around them in that sense,
Yeah. Absolutely. And again, not all Mormon guys.
Not all Mormon guys.
Yeah. they should not participate in conversations or activities that arouse sexual feelings, such as passionate kissing, lying with or on top of another person, or touching the private, sacred parts of another person's body with or without clothing. They didn't say soaking.
No soaking, you guys. You heard it first. You heard it there. You can soak as much as you want, but also please don't, because it's please so don't. Disturbing.
Gross. If we are married, be faithful to our spouse in our thoughts, words, and actions. We should never flirt in any way with someone other than our spouse. As much as possible, we should avoid being alone with anyone of the opposite sex and ask ourselves if our spouse would be pleased if he or she knew of our words or actions. This was a light bulb moment for me. It was like this whole idea of like men and women can't be friends is sort of how the church frames it, right? Like if you're going to be alone with someone of the opposite sex, quote unquote, like you're going to be tempted to do stuff. And that's just not true. Like it took me forever to like break this way of thinking. And now I have wonderful, amazing male friends that there's nothing like romantic or whatever there, but it's like, this is limiting who you can be friends with just because the church is like, don't be alone with anyone of the opposite sex. You're just going to bone each other.
Exactly. But it's also like what we talked about before, where it's like, it's as if men and women have no control over themselves or their actions. And like, if you, it's just this ridiculous, like you're an adult, you should be able to control yourself and your actions. And if you don't, that's on you. That's not because you were with someone of the opposite sex.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it really is. I just feel like it's such a diss to men when they say things like that, like, oh, like, don't wear that because men won't be able to help themselves but attack you. And it's like, if they're a decent guy, you could be wearing like basically nothing and he's not going to assault you, you know?
Exactly.
So, yeah. Okay, and then it finishes out by saying, repentance is difficult, but it's possible. The despair of sin can be replaced with the sweet peace of forgiveness. To learn what is required to repent, see the gospel topic, repentance. And then you're supposed to click on that and go learn how you can tell God and the bishop and everyone what a piece of shit you are because you had sex with your long-term boyfriend.
Oh, I hate it so much.
Yeah.
I honestly hate it. I really hope if there's anyone out there who's struggling with this right now or feeling that guilt, like just know, having sex as an adult, or, you know, you don't even necessarily have to be an adult, but as long as it's like consensual, like you can do that and it's okay. Like you don't need to have guilt at all.
Yeah. Just be safe, have consent, and have fun. Yeah.
Exactly.
And I'm done talking about this now, so thank you for joining me, and thank you all for listening, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.